Sister Lisa. Good song. Got to know a little bit about your Bible to really get that song, don't you? You got to know about him turning the sea into a highway and the bones into an army. Those are all events recorded in the Word of God. And truly, it shows us the power of God. He's the only one that can do that. Thank you for that song. Again, I appreciate everyone being here today. Our winter weather seems to be upon us and going to be with us for a few days. That don't mean we're not going to have a warm-up somewhere down the road here, but been chilly, but it's good in here. It's nice to be in here. It's nice to be in the house of the Lord on a day that's set aside for us to gather and worship, and I appreciate your attentiveness to that. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, last week I read from Luke chapter 9 and read several verses there, but my focus is still on the 23rd verse, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and I haven't finished with that yet, so I'm going to dig a little deeper, as the saying goes. You know, as Lisa was singing, I was thinking about another song that we sing. I don't even know what the title of it is, but the song says, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. And that should be the desire of all of our hearts. And so in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. My text is going to come from the 18th chapter of Luke, if you want to turn a few pages over. Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 29. And Jesus said to his disciples there, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parent or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Last week, Sister Lisa alluded to it, but last week I spoke about taking our Christianity. I'm talking about our relationship, our walk with the Lord to the next level. Those of you that know me for all the years that I've been pastoring here, I've oftentimes referred to the fact that no matter where you are at in your walk with the Lord, no matter where you're at in your relationship with the Lord, we can step up a little bit higher. We can go another level up. In other words, we can get closer to the Lord. And there is nothing like being in the center of God's will for your life. There's nothing like having that close, intimate relationship and walk with the Lord. And I said last week, to be able to get to that next level, to be able to get a little bit closer to the Lord, I said it requires us to incorporate some changes into our lives. And last week, I focused on desire and the inclination or the longing for, to have a craving to follow Jesus in a greater way. And my thought this morning from this same verse, as we continue on a little bit further in this verse, I want to talk this morning about denial. I want to talk about denial. Do you remember the story of when Jesus called Matthew to be his disciple? We know from the study of God's Word that Matthew was a tax collector. And in that day, a tax collector was considered, I guess, as the expression goes, as low as a snake in the eyes of the Jews. But for Matthew, it paid the bills, and and then some. When Matthew was called by Jesus, he had a choice to make, didn't he? He had to decide whether he would keep looking out for number one, in other words, keep looking out for himself, or whether or not he would follow Jesus. And he chose to deny himself, and he chose to follow Jesus. He stepped out on a road or on a different pathway that would change his life forever. And again, I want us to consider being a next level Christian. Don't be satisfied where you are at with the Lord when God has so much more for you. There's so much more that God wants for you. There's so much more that he wants to do for you, and there's so much more that he wants to do through you to be able to accomplish what his will is for your lives and what his will is through our lives for his benefit. And in my message last week, I preached about the importance of having a desire. I preached about a desire to be and to do what the Lord would have us to be and what the Lord would have us to do. And again, in verse 23, Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, in other words, that was the desire, if we have a desire to come after him, he said, let him deny himself. Now, my focus today is the phrase, let him deny himself. And Jesus tells us that to be a disciple, we have to deny ourselves. If we want to go to the next level as a Christian, we have to be self-denying. And the very basics of Christianity involves and includes self-denial. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, he is a wonderful example of self-denial. And if you'll turn over to the book of Philippians, I want to read about 12 verses there. In the book of Philippians, we find out about Paul's self-denial. And beginning in chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He went on to say, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He's describing himself here, brothers and sisters. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul here is a picture for us of self-denial. He could have confidence in himself. He shared with us in this portion of word that, you know, he could have confidence in the position that he was born into. Paul was born and he was raised a Jew. And the Jews, they considered themselves a step above everybody else. They were God's chosen people. And he had good roots. And he was a purebred Jew. He could have confidence in his abilities, in his ableness to be able to keep the law. Paul was passionate about keeping the law. He knew what the rules were, and he lived in order to keep those rules. And he also pointed out those who broke the law. He could have confidence in his position in life. Scripture told us that he was a Pharisee, the ruling class of the Jews. And he was a leader, and he held an important place in society. And he was held in high esteem because of his position in life. He could have confidence in his own abilities. He considered himself to be blameless. He considered himself blameless in the pursuits of life and living what he termed as a perfect life. He felt confident that he could do whatever he needed to do, and in doing so, that he could be successful at it. He was talented, is what I'm trying to say, and he knew it. Paul's early life expressed many of our lives, I think, as I was studying this. Some of us were born into good families. Some of us were born into good families with good names. Some of us have obtained positions within our lives, and some of us have developed great abilities, and we depend on those abilities that we've got to be able to get us ahead. And we can relate to what Paul is saying here. Paul was self-dependent, and he had the ability to get things done simply in his own power. Many of us today, we are self-dependent, and we can get things done by our own power and our own persuasions. So what did Paul do with this great life that he had? What did he do with this great life that he described to us? He gave it up. That's what he did. He gave it up. The scripture I read said he counted it all as lost. He realized that all that stuff wasn't the key to a successful life. He said that all he had in his early life was as dung or human excretion. That's what that's how he described it. The position that he was born into, the position in his life and his own abilities, he gave it all up. Why? Why did he give it all up? Why did he give up his early life in this manner? Why did he give it all up? Why did he deny himself all the things of the world that would make him a success? The reason is Paul denied himself to know Jesus. He denied himself to know Jesus. Unlike, you remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and wanted to know what it was he could do that he might have everlasting life. And of course, the Lord instructed him to what he had to do. And he said, well, I've done all those things since my youth up as far as the commandments go. And Jesus says, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. And the scriptures tell us that this young man went away sorrowfully. Why? Because he had much possessions. But you see, Paul wanted to know Jesus. He denied himself to be able to know the power of Jesus in his life. He denied himself that he would be able to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He denied himself so that he could be what Jesus had called him to be. And when Paul began his personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, everything else paled, or it lessened in comparison to that what that was. You understand what I'm saying? Everything else wasn't as important to him as it had been than what this newfound relationship was with the Lord Jesus. His relationship and his dependency on the Lord was worth more to him than anything else that the world had to offer. I wonder how many of us can say that same thing. Brothers and sisters, Paul lived Luke 9 and 23. He had a desire and he was willing to deny himself in order to be able to follow Jesus. I want us to really understand the correct view of what self-denial is. Paul had the true positive view of self-denial. Many people would say that he's crazy. Paul is crazy to give up all these great amenities of life that he had. After all, it looked like Paul had made it. It looked like he had everything and anything anyone would want. Some would say that, you know what, religion is good, but when it starts messing up your life, well, you've gone too far. There would be those that say, don't take religious so seriously. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how we can take our faith and our religion so seriously based on what Jesus has instructed us and taught us in his word. Listen, Paul didn't deny himself for the purpose of religion. I want us to see that. He didn't deny himself for the purpose of religion. He had already been there and done that as he understood it. Paul could deny himself because he found something, Paul found someone that was more important to him than all of that other stuff. And many people have a misconception about what self-denial is. When we hear self-denial, all kinds of things cross our minds, like we have to give up all of our stuff, or like, you know, we have to be harsh on ourselves, you know, and giving up and practicing self-denial, we're going to have to live a life that's boring, and we're going to have to live a life that's not exciting. This is what we think of sometimes when we think about self-denial, and Satan loves it. He loves it when we think about in our minds what we think we're going to have to give up to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of really understanding and realizing, like Paul did, that there was so much more. And here's the truth about self-denial. We need to get a true perspective of what self-denial for Christ means, because that helps us then to be able to practice self-denial. When we have priorities, the non-essentials lose their importance. You understand what I'm saying? When certain things become more important in our lives, other things appeal less to us. They lose their appeal. When the priority is losing weight, food loses its appeal because you're focused on doing that. When our priority is earning more money, everything else moves to the back, and we focus on what we're doing to accomplish that. During hunting season, my son called me yesterday, and I said, "How you doing, son?" And he said, "Not good, Dad." I don't know about you parents, but when your children have a down demeanor and say things aren't good, my heart starts palpitating a little bit harder. Who's hurt? What's happened? And I said, "Well, what is it, son?" "First day of opening season, Dad, for deer hunting." He said, "I got out in the field early in the morning, and it was dark. And I couldn't find the tree blind that you bought me for Christmas last year. Somebody stole it. Had to be. I looked. I couldn't find it." So he says, "I found me a spot, and I sat down where I could watch for the deer. And wouldn't you know it, it started pouring the rain, Dad. Pouring the rain. And then it started sleeting. And then it started snowing. And he said, as it got daylight, I looked around and I found my tree stand. I was looking in the wrong place." And he says, "The runs up the tree stand were covered with ice. But he said, I carefully made my way up there. And I sat there for several hours in the pouring, sleeting rain. And I decided, this isn't any fun." And he decided it was time to go home. But you see, his focus that morning was to go out there. His priority was to go out there and get in that tree stand and find some supper. That's what he was looking for. He likes to get a dough and put it in the freezer so they got food. And that was his focus. He was putting all of his energy into that goal. To make these priorities real, whatever it is, it may cause us to have to deny a lot of other things in our lives at that moment in time in our life. But those things that we deny, they don't seem to matter to us when we're trying to reach the goal. As I oftentimes say, Brother Overton, a preacher I respected my whole life, he always said that when a person was saved, their want to changes. So you didn't mind denying things that were important before because your want to had changed a little bit. When our desires become our priority, and that priority is becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the non-essentials will fade away. They won't matter as much anymore. See, Satan wants you to believe it's going to matter a whole bunch, but they won't matter. When you're with the Lord, they won't matter as much. When our goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection, nothing else can compete. When Paul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him, his priorities, they changed. All those things that were once important to the Apostle Paul, they faded away. And when our priority is being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, our priorities will change as well. And all those things that we once thought were so important, when we're focused on the Lord, they may not be as important as we once thought that they were. It's not that we're giving up the good stuff. It's just that we found better stuff. And it's not that life has lost its excitement. Brothers and sisters, we've just found a life that's much more exciting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hard part, of course, is how do we practice this denying of self? How do we practice self-denial? How do we practice abstinence? How do we practice self-discipline? How do we practice denial? I don't know about you, but I think for all of us, that's never been our strong suit. I said if the goal was to lose weight, food is unattractive. I got a problem with that. Still looks good to me. But I have to get that priority straight. To practice self-denial, we've got to change our focus, and we've got to focus on knowing Jesus. I'm not just talking about being saved this morning. You gotta be saved. But after we're saved, we got to focus on knowing Jesus more and more, better and better, according to what his word says to us about who Jesus is. Focusing on knowing the power that Jesus has and can have in our lives. Focus on being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, getting closer and more intimate with every day that passes. Focus on being what Jesus has called you to be. Focus on doing what the Lord has called you to do. These focuses will take our mind off of ourselves and place our mind on Jesus, which, brothers and sisters, that's where he wants it to be. He wants it to be on him. You see, God wants to use us for his purposes. He didn't just save us so that we could avoid hell, but he saved us so that we could become a part of the army of God. He saved us that we could carry out his great commission. He saved us that we could be his ambassadors to those round about us in this world. As long as our priorities and our goals dominate, we can never see what God's priorities and goals are for us. We can't be used of the Lord until we empty ourselves of ourselves. If we're so full of ourselves, we're not going to have time for the Lord. We're not going to be able to accomplish the things that God wants us to do and to use us for his purpose. Self-denial is letting go of our ambitions and grabbing hold of what the Lord's ambitions are. To reach our full potential for Christ, we've got to be willing to give him ourselves. Many in seeking salvation, and I've heard it in people's testimonies over and over and over again, they said, I was praying unto the Lord, and I was pleading with unto the Lord, and I pledged and I promised unto the Lord that if he would save me, I'd give up everything. If he saved me, I'll do anything that you want me to do, Lord. Sound familiar? Remember that? Maybe that was part of your prayer to find the Lord precious your soul. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. That doesn't mean that we can't have plans. It doesn't mean that we can't have goals in our life. It doesn't mean that we can't have ambitions in our life. It just means that we have to trust the Lord for our path. He knows better than we know. That's why we're told in the scripture to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, because the Lord knows what we need, and he will guide us and lead us if we will allow him to, and we'll still be able to have goals and ambitions and desires that we want, but they will be fixed upon the direction that the Lord would have us to go in. He knows the best direction for your life. I'm living proof of that. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, one of the questions was, can you think of a time in your life when you rejected the Lord and what the consequence of that was. Kind of like crickets in our Sunday school class. Nobody wanted to say anything. But I immediately came to my mind that, yes, I remember a time. I remember when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to preach my word. And I rejected the Lord. And for a couple of years, I continued to reject the Lord. I tested them and all kinds of things. And they said, what was the result of rejecting the Lord? Well, the result was a couple of years of life being burdened and convicted about not doing what the Lord wanted me to do until I got to the place where I could surrender unto the Lord. And that burden and all that unrest left me, and there was a peace. God knows what He wants to do in our lives, and we have to be listening for Him. But why did Jesus say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself? Why was self-denial so important? I believe because being a next level Christian is not about us. I believe being a next level Christian is all about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we are not the good news. We are the bearers of good news. Brothers and sisters, we are not the Savior. We are the witnesses for the Savior to steer people to the Lord, to encourage them to focus upon the Lord and to see their need for Jesus in their life. No one has ever saved anyone. Only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one that can forgive and give the gift of eternal life. We got to know our place. We got to know what our position is, but we also have to know what our requirements that God has for us. We got to know what our mission is to be able to fulfill it, to get to the place where they can come to know the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, the very first step of self-denial is denying the fact that we might be able to be good enough in some way that when we stand before the Lord, that we've done something good enough to impress Him enough to say, enter in, good and faithful servant. I want you to understand this morning, salvation has never been obtained by good works. Salvation has never been obtained by good deeds. Good works and good deeds are a good thing. We should exercise and practice those things in this life. But they have never brought salvation to anyone. The act of self-denial is losing our dependency on ourselves and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life through a salvation experience. Salvation has always been and always will be by grace through faith in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary to atone for the sins of humanity and make reconciliation possible with God the Father. You see, the question is, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a time and a place where you exercise this self-denial with a repentant heart toward God? If there hasn't been, you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to understand what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Without what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, there is no hope. There was no hope for humanity. All of humanity was damned to hell as a result of the sin that occurred in the Garden of Eden. But God loved His people so much that He wanted to provide a way for there to be this reconciliation, to be this bringing back into fellowship and relationship with God. And the only way that was possible was by a perfect sacrifice. And the only perfect sacrifice was God's Son, Jesus Christ. You know the story, I hope. He came to earth and He suffered on the cross of Calvary to bring about sin for all of mankind. I pray today that if you don't know Him and if the Spirit of God is dealing with you, See, that's the difference between Missionary Baptist and some other denominations. You know, it's not a mental decision to trust in the Lord. It's a heart decision. It comes through conviction. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, burdens us. Why do we have to have a burden? Why do we have to have conviction? Why do we have to have contrition? Why do we have to have all these feelings that, well, they just tear us up? Because God wants us to see us as He sees us. He wants us to understand where we are in relationship with Him, and where we are is we don't have one when we're lost and in sin. But through the convicting power of the Word of God, our eyes can be opened from the blindness of sin. Satan don't want you to see it. He don't want you to know what Jesus did for you. He doesn't want you to know that there's a way out of hell. He doesn't want you to know that there's a better place to go to. But see, the Spirit of God will open your eyes. He'll bring that troubling or that burden into your heart. And that's what the drawing power of the Spirit of God is. So that you can come to Him and you can pray. The only way you're going to communicate with God is through a prayer from a repentant heart of faith. Being sorrowful for the sin in your life and trusting in the blood of Jesus to cover those sins and to bring about your salvation. Let Him remove the burden of conviction in your heart and let Him replace it with peace. But in order to do that, it starts first with denying self and coming to the Lord. And then after we're saved, that doesn't go away. We still have to deny ourselves or self-deny ourselves to be in a position where the Lord can use us in a great and mighty way. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's my message today. Brother Allen, let's have a song. There may be someone here today who has not taken that first step of self-denial. And that first step, again, is seeing yourself as God sees you. That first step is seeing what your need is and then being willing to deny yourself of other things of this life to be able to have that personal relationship with the Lord. Let's stand together. If you're here today and you have that need, will you come as we sing? This altar is open. You can bow and you can pray and you can talk to the Lord. Salvation is a personal experience between you and the Lord, and He'll speak to your heart. And you'll know when you're saved because that burden will go away and there will be a peace there while we sing.